Good morning and welcome to the roundtable and our panel this morning. Very nice to have you with us, and it is very nice to be in the company of the three people across the rounded table from me this morning. Let me introduce you to them. First, we have WAMC's Alan Chartok. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning. I'm rehearsing very hard because the Berkshire Ramblers are going to be at Cafe Lena.
On Halloween.
Halloween
which
night.
Which I believe is a week from tonight.
Yeah, something like that.
Yes.
Yeah, a week from tonight.
Yeah.
And that's where you will be a week from tonight.
It'll be ghoulish, I tell you.
Well, they have a Cafe Lena all week. They have really good Halloween-like stuff. Yeah. And then you guys take over and...
Well, it was sold out the last time we were there. If anybody needs, tickets, they should call Cafe Lena fast because, you know, the chances of having a seat will be not that good.
Well, it's a small, intimate space.
It's a wonderful space. Yeah. I love Cafe Lena.
It's two Fs, by the way. Don't forget that. If you look it up.
Oh, is that right?
It's two Fs. Cafe Lena.
And as you know, Roselle served coffee there when she was at Skidmore. So it has a very special place in our lives.
CafeLena.org with two Fs, and you can find out information. It's on Phyla Street in Saratoga, so...
You're a good man, Joe. You roll with the punches.
Let me introduce someone who hasn't been with us for a while. We miss her, so it's very
God,
happy that she's with us. Editor of the Daily Gazette, Judy Patrick, is here.
It is nice to be here. And I'm suggesting that maybe a week from today, Halloween, that you guys should get dressed up in costume. People would go online and watch the show video-wise. Yeah. Oh, I'm not seeing a lot of enthusiasm there.
Yeah. You're going to lead the pack?
You invite me here next Friday. I'll be in costume.
All right.
You look good in a witch's hat.
We'll talk about it. Oh, well, that's mean.
Right. Now you're really up for a sexual harassment suit.
No. Come on. Let me explain myself.
I'm fine with that.
Let me explain.
Oh, maybe that's hate speech.
Let me explain myself. You know, Judy, the professional, wonderful editor of the Schenectady Gazette, is a wonderful professional woman, but she's also quite beautiful, and a hat on top
it's
of her.
It's getting thick in here.
I am from Greenwich.
Greenwich.
In
Washington County, Greenwich,
or
the Connecticut?
No, we're from the same town, and in our on our police cars, and in the
hometown of
is a green witch.
No, on
the thing, that's the
one. No. I thought it said the hometown of Judy Patrick and Joe Donahue.
Well, we're working on that. Yeah, we're working on that.
And Libby, we do have a lot of celebrities there.
And Libby Post is here. She was going to be with us on Monday, but unfortunately her schedule does not allow because she's so busy doing her thing. So she's here today instead.
Yeah.
We're very happy
to be here on Monday.
Filling in for Rosemary.
Monday's going to be interesting. I've been asked to serve on the task force, or whatever they're calling it, to come up with the sexual assault policies and procedures for SUNY-wide, for all the SUNY campuses, based on the governor's directive.
Wow, so, that's terrific. Who asked you?
The folks in the council's office, actually, who...
Does this mean you're going to be, kissing Cuomo's rear from now on?
I doubt it. It just means I have two meetings to go to.
I have two meetings to go to.
One of them
right
the
now
one,
that
one
I know
of them is the one you're interested in conveying to me.
We'll talk about that offline, Alan.
Okay. It's very nice to have you all here. There's a lot of subtext this morning. I don't know quite what's happening, but let me get you to our topics for today and what's going on. Of course, the big story coming out of New York City, and it seemed inevitable from the very start of this, and here we are. New York City doctor back from Africa is sick with Ebola. There was a very long press conference held at Bellevue Hospital last night with the mayor of New York, the governor of New York, the head of the New York City Health Department, who I am in love with now, and I just...
how come?
I thought that this is the woman I want to run everything. She's just amazing. I was looking at her resume last night. First of all, watching her speak and just have command of the situation, because nobody else on that panel mattered at that point, because she had just taken over everything. And then when I started looking her up, it just from Columbia, Harvard, and had done so much work in eradicating AIDS in Africa. I mean, she this woman has an amazing history, and she's the New York City Health Commissioner, and it's really was quite something. Anyway,
did you get the sense that there was may have been, Joe, a little battle going on, ego battle between the mayor,
the boys,
the mayor, and the governor, and this is the same this is the same governor who made one of his initial great faux pas earlier in life when he said that the only thing that George Pataki did for the mayor of New York was to hold his coat. Do you remember that? In 9/11.
Mm-hmm. I saw tension amongst everyone on the panel because Dr. Mary Bassett, who I was just speaking about, seemed to be the only person who had a firm command.
Well, one would think.
As the city health commissioner, you would hope.
Yes. And I'm not disparaging on her at all, because I've heard very good things about her through my contacts in the public health world. But, you know, these guys should just pull back and say, look, we're here. We want to.
We'll support you.
Much like Giuliani was after 9/11, leader, we're going to let people do their jobs. This is the woman who really knows what's going on. We're not scientists. We're not doctors. Talk to her. Listen to her. She's going to be our leader here. And that's really where things should have gone.
And she can be very tough.
Yeah. And I also like at the end of the Ian and I were talking about the Ian Pickus, our news director, and I were talking about this. But at the end of the press conference, weirdly, the governor clapped, which I thought was odd. Did you see that?
Yeah.
It was like, okay, thank you very much.
And we're done now?
Yeah. On to the next thing. It was a little odd. A lot is being made. Let's talk about the issue itself. A lot is being made about the fact that concerns, and I think what the whole tone of the press conference last night was basically saying, look, from what we know, you are not contagious until you have the fever and until you have the diarrhea, and at the time where this man who had come back from Africa treating patients with Ebola, and even though he took the A train, even though he took the 1 train, even though he was on the High Line,
and he
went bowling, it doesn't matter because even at that time he was not contagious. They don't believe because he was taking his temperature regularly.
I see.
So that seemed to be the message of the press conference, and also one of which this is just the subtext I was reading into it, which seemed to be, hey, Texas,
get a grip.
This is how you run things.
We want the government involved in something like this.
Yeah.
Judy, do you think this could happen in Schenectady, this kind of thing?
This could happen anywhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that struck me as I was reading more about this yesterday was about the people who have contracted Ebola who are not in West Africa, you know, and they are nurses, doctors, aid workers, priests. I mean, you really, it gives pause.
These are the heroes.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and they're out there risking their lives, and these things happen once in a while.
I think the interesting point here too is that if you are not symptomatic, what are you supposed to do? I mean, they made this point several times last night. There were 47 people who took care of the man who died in Texas. So of those 47 people, 2 contracted Ebola. So for the other people, are they supposed to then just be to self-quarantine and not to do anything?
That's what they want people to do. That's what they did. A lot of those people were in self-quarantine.
I think it's interesting for this gentleman to come back. You know, are you subjected to the illness? Do you know you're subjected to the illness? And do you just not do anything? Do you just stay in your apartment? And even is that safe? And obviously, a girlfriend and a friend. Fiance and a friend are also in quarantine now.
Well, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot, and I will be severely criticized for saying this. But you have to really figure that everybody has to be extraordinarily honest when you're looking for the people who you may have had contact with. So, you know, I was thinking about the Long Black Veil, you know, the folk song about the guys. You know, you guys know that?
Could you sing a few bars?
Yeah, no, it's a guy who is executed because he can't and she won't talk about the fact that he was in the arms of his best friend's wife.
This is the Lefty Frizzell song?
It's everybody's song.
Okay.
So then the question is, you know, there's some things that you can't tell. Now, I'm not saying this guy had a lover, you know, that was there, but when you think about all of the possibilities here, they're pretty great.
You know, we got a call in our office yesterday from a local workplace, and someone had just returned from West Africa, and they want him banned from the workplace for 21 days. So we're starting to see a little bit of that.
Well, it's Ebola hysteria.
And
it really is.
And the real strong advice is to get information. Go online, go to credible websites.
Right.
Don't go to crazy websites and find out all you need to know. New York Times has some great information on their
They really
site.
Do.
Yeah.
Some interactive graphics that are
wonderful. The map that was related to the article, I think it was in the Times, showed all the cases that they've been able to track outside of West Africa. Three people have died,
but
and everyone else
is so
being taken
low.
Care of.
Like 18,
it's true. It's like
18
not that
people.
Many. Right, right,
18
right, right.
people outside 18 people. Of Africa.
Right, right.
West
and
Africa.
As somebody, I found this really amusing.
More people die from choking.
What? You can get more people die from walking across the street and getting hit by a bus.
Especially here on Central Avenue.
No kidding. But yeah. Americans on Facebook, from Daily Kos, Americans are four times more likely to marry Rush Limbaugh. Then contract Ebola and die. What are you more afraid of? So, but it's true. I mean, it's like the statistical likelihood of somebody contracting it is very small, but people are being hysterical.
But then there's the lottery, don't you see? As Festus Hagen would say, don't you see? There's the lottery, which is somebody's got to win, and somebody here has got to die, and nobody wants to be that person.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. Mm.
But
only one person has died in this country.
This may change, but
yes.
As of right now, I think both the health departments in the city and the state, as well as city officials and state officials, are saying that this doctor did pretty much everything right. He took his temperature. He said, okay, at the point where I was feeling okay, now my temperature is 100.3, which is a low fever, relatively.
Right.
100.3. Now I'm going to present myself, and then they had all of the equipment there to handle it. And that, I think that's what you want.
But Joe, don't you see? The question I have is this: what made him decide that he needed to monitor himself constantly? Did he have a cold? Did he have a cold?
No.
Doctors Without Borders.
So they have a protocol.
Yes.
Yeah. So when you return, and then through that time, was it two or three times a day?
At least twice.
He would take his temperature, and that's when
more times than I weigh myself.
Right. Well, I find that difficult to believe, but okay. But he would. So whenever before he went out, before he did anything, he would take his temperature and reported all of the symptoms. And again, by their reports from state and city officials, he has been extremely cooperative in saying, look, here's my Metro card. Here's
right.
where I went. Here's what I did. This
here's
is
my taxi receipt.
Right. Here's
the bowling
this is
ball.
This is where I was. Right. And
all this being said, though, you can understand the public skepticism about things, because
sure.
what happened in Dallas shouldn't have happened in Dallas.
Right.
Why did that? And if it had happened first in New York City, would we have had the same scenario as we had in Dallas?
No.
So I would encourage people.
You don't know that. You look.
No, I don't know that. But I think
mistakes can be made anywhere.
I get that.
You know, and we can
understand,
all make them.
But you know, there was just a set of circumstances in Texas that I think opened this up.
I don't think you like Texas. I think that's what this is all about.
Well, there is that.
But Dallas is a major
from the country.
It's a major metropolitan hospital. It's not like it's a small hospital in northern Montana.
Right.
And they have all of the tools, but there was protocol, and it was not. And you're right. There certainly is room for skepticism because of the issues that happened there. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll take a couple letters, and then we'll go to our news break at the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back after this.
Support for WAMC comes from Binghamton University with their Smart Energy Research and Development Facility, helping to create green energy jobs, binghamton.edu. Kingsway Community, Schenectady, New York, offering a continuum of care and services to area seniors since 1975, including independent living apartments, home care, and more, 518-393-8800. And Catskill Animal Sanctuary, Saugerties, accepting reservations for the homestead, the sanctuary's renovated 1813 guest house, surrounded by 300 rescued farm animals, casanctuary.org.
Good morning and welcome back to our roundtable panel. Before we hit NPR News and get the latest on this story as well as other stories around the globe, we go to Alan with our letters so far this morning.
Okay, Gina says, since the only people in the United States that have come down with Ebola have acquired it through helping people, the Republicans don't have anything to worry about.
Now that, my friends, is a shot.
That's a shot.
Yeah. Over a bow.
Ted says, with all due respect to Doctors Without Borders and the work they do, why aren't they considered high risk and monitored when returning to the U.S.? They are. Governor Cuomo's words, stay calm, do not ring true. That's from Ted. Well, I mean, what else is he supposed to say, right? I mean, think about it. Bob says, maybe it's true that you can't catch Ebola from someone who is not showing symptoms. This doctor knew what the symptoms were to look for, knew how to take his temperature, and was responsible about getting to the hospital ASAP. What will happen when someone comes here who has Ebola but is asymptomatic and has no medical expertise and careless or is undeniable about his symptoms when they develop? Bob, no last name, Bob. Okay, and then what else is there here? You see anything else?
That's all I have.
Okay, all right, very good.
Excellent. Let's take a break. We'll get the latest on this story and others, and we welcome your letters in the meantime. Roundtable@WAMC.org, roundtable@WAMC.org. It's our roundtable panel this morning, Alan Chartok, Judy Patrick, and Libby Post. I'm Joe Donahue. We'll be back after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel for this Friday morning. Very nice to have you with us, and we invite you to join in on the conversation. Why should we have all the fun? Roundtable@WAMC.org, roundtable@WAMC.org. And Alan has a few examples of letters written to us just
Indeed,
moments ago.
From Michael. What they're telling us is not altogether true. If this doctor got on the subway, wiped his nose, and then grabbed the pole to steady himself, and you came along within a few minutes, and you grabbed the same pole, you will have been exposed to the virus. Vectors will spread the virus if the contact is short enough,
okay,
says
Michael. But my understanding, again, from what they are telling us, and when I say they, I mean the health officials, the state health officials, and the city health officials in New York, say
yep.
that as long as that individual is not symptomatic, meaning A, no. has a fever, B, has the diarrhea,
right.
is not able to, then that is not contagious. It is not until those symptoms have been presented that the individual, the fatigue and so forth, that individual.
Not everybody believes that, however.
No, I understand. Right. I understand well, that. But I'm just saying we're going with what we are being
Well, when
told.
People believe Jenny McCarthy about vaccines,
sure.
people will believe anything yeah. about anything.
And what about AIDS? I mean, I
right.
remember the beginning
right.
of the AIDS crisis.
It was horrible.
People had terrible
That's right.
thoughts about
can't touch him, can't be in the classroom. You know, yeah. none of that stuff.
I was on Channel 6 one night. A guy comes in. He's the first outed AIDS person in the Capital Region, I think. And, of course, I shook his hand because it was the right thing to do. But then thinking about it, I went down and washed my hand down in the basement.
Well, he could have had a cold.
So, you know, yeah, right. I wasn't proud of myself.
Well, you know, it was the hysteria around HIV/AIDS mirrors this. You know, the fact is, though, people had to die. 20,000 people had to die of HIV and AIDS before we did anything about it. And this is like instant hysteria. and we're listening to people like Jenny McCarthy or whoever else who has absolutely no scientific background.
Well, you made the reference to Jenny McCarthy twice now. I'm so sorry I'm stupid, but can you tell us what you said?
Well, Jenny McCarthy is a former Playboy bunny, was engaged to Jim Carrey and is now, I think, married to Mark Wahlberg.
Her brother, Donnie Wahlberg.
Donnie Wahlberg. Yeah.
Who's he?
He was a new kid on the block.
New kid on the block. But she's out there. She's the one who's out there who's...
That's a band, Alan.
Right, right. who got a hold of a discredited medical study, and it's been discredited for years, that vaccines cause autism.
Oh, no, I know that one.
And she's out there about this. And we see what happens now when people aren't vaccinated. Measles are coming back.
Yeah, flu.
All kinds of things.
Shingles.
Right. Right. All kinds of things are coming back. The communicable diseases like measles and whooping cough, sure. They're on the rise again, and there's no reason for it. But people believe junk science, just like this hysteria over Ebola.
And this rise in conspiracy theories. I'm hearing these all over the place. Yeah. And, you know, you kind of...
Chemtrails.
It's because of Obamacare, didn't you know?
Yeah, so...
Ebola care.
So those are things that people have to be skeptical about.
But right. But I'm thinking about something Libby just said, which is it took all these deaths for us to take AIDS seriously. Do you think, and you say, but this we jump right on, do you think this is as a result of having learned something from AIDS?
It might have been. It might be. But, you know, nobody took AIDS seriously because it was just gay men that were dying for so long. So big deal. This is something that can impact anyone. So yeah, I think it's true that we have much more access to information because of the web. The web wasn't around back then.
Right.
You know, and so people can and a dollar and a dream and a good looking website means that whatever's on there is true. Mm-hmm. And so anybody can put anything out there and people will, that's why credible websites and your public libraries are so important. But yes, people, I think that's part of it. But I also think it's just people want to get hysterical about this.
But here's the problem. Here's the problem. If, in fact, we take it seriously enough to do what we're doing and we prevent the disease, then somebody's going to come along post hoc, propter hoc, and as Cuomo used to say, and say, you didn't have to do that. It was overkill.
Yeah.
But we'll never know.
Right. We'll never know, and that's okay. It's okay.
We have other letters.
Oh, we do. Yes.
Yes.
I'm so glad you pointed that out. John says, what should happen is that any doctor who treats Ebola and returns home should be quarantined for the 21-day waiting period before going out in public. If this wasn't such a dangerous virus, healthcare workers would not be dressed up in such protective gear. That's a precaution, just as staying away from people during the 21-day incubation period, just to be safe. The medical field employees should know better than to do otherwise, just my opinion. And they're really coming.
Now, we got a lot.
Okay. Jennifer says, has anyone discussed precautionary measures we can take? What about wearing gloves? Refrain from greeting with hugs and handshakes. These are measures I took last year. No colds. I'm told the virus will live on your clothing if exposed. Removing gloves after exposure would be an issue. Any data on this?
Well, I think I think they're in the process of compiling all the data and figuring out what the process is.
And David says, if Ebola does not present an airborne hazard, why are healthcare people wearing approved respiratory protection for airborne hazards when caring for these patients? Why not just splash protection? In other words, masks.
Which is a good question. I have wondered that.
Uh-huh.
Whether it's other issues as well that they're trying to prevent, but...
Well,
and I guess it doesn't hurt, right?
Well, what if somebody sneezes in your face and you ingest it?
Yeah, I am.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You're in there in the hospital, you're treating somebody.
Right.
I don't know. And RCT says, I am stunned that a doctor who has been in an Ebola-stricken country and was obviously well aware of the 21-day incubation period would ride the subway and go bowling, where you are definitely sweating into the bowling ball before thoroughly waiting a full 21 days, if not longer, just to be safe. It seems irresponsible to me. You wanted to say something, Libby?
No, she wants to go bowling.
You know, the idea of sweating into the bowling ball sort of gives me the creeps, but that's besides the point.
Eric says, to Alan's point, people think that Y2K wasn't a problem. It wasn't a problem because programmers worked around the clock and around the world to prevent the problem. Eric. Maybe, maybe not. It was hyped and it was hysteria. Mm-hmm. There's no question. People thought it was the end of the world. And then another Eric, different one, maybe, says...
We certainly hope so.
Says, New York City tourism to take a beating? Question mark, Eric. That's an interesting question.
Yeah, it is an interesting question.
And then Adam, and then did we do that one already? I think
no,
we
I don't
did
think so. Did we well, did you get Kenner?
Kenner. Yeah, no, we didn't do Kenner. On one hand, flu is probably going to kill many more people than Ebola this winter in the United States. On the other hand, the Ebola virus may mutate and become more contagious than it is now. And John, we read John already, I think.
Did you read Dan? I don't think you read
Dan. Okay. Where's Dan? Where is he? There he is. Come back, Dan. Dan from Rensselaer County. The discussion about Ebola is comparable to the issue of terrorism. As long as the people of influence keep talking from their own bias, we will not address this properly. All people traveling from the affected country should be welcome, but quarantined for the 21 days. Libby's obvious inability to separate her anger and disgust with Republicans and Texans is an example of how this blind thinking can be found in Tea Party and liberal circles equally.
Okay.
Okay, then. All right. And
I don't think we talked about Luca's note, but I don't think you read Luca's note.
Luca's? Oh, yeah, Luca. Where's Luca? Boy, this stuff is really coming in. Oh, there she is. She's great. Dear Roundtable, I'm so delighted at your description of New York City's health commissioner. She's addressing the job and situation. The boys are fighting in the sandbox of ego. I think the boys are the governor and the mayor.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Men have brought us ideology, dogma, war, genocide, etc. Women have brought us cooperation to create stability, concern about others, communication, and recognizing our mutual interconnection. The statistics say it all. Why can't the guys get it and shut up? Luca in Woodstock. You have a very satisfied look on your face. Judy, is that right?
No, it's a little bit simplistic. I'm not going to denounce the entire male sex, I think, at this point.
And they all thank you for that.
At this point. At this point. The jury's still out, but at this point.
Okay, so how about Claire?
Yes.
CDC is not kid-friendly, and we are waiting on New York State. CDC has published guidance on Ebola and house pets, but no guidance on Ebola kids and schools. New York City DPH has offered Ebola guidance for New York City schools, recommending schools keep track of children's family travel, but not visitors. Really? How? A second grader can tell you about a trip or visitor? Question mark, question mark. And the New York State Ebola plan also does not mention children. New York can do better, says Claire. And they're still coming in. That means I have to go back to the beginning again.
Yeah, there's a whole new.
Oh boy. Well, you're the moderator. What do you think?
Well, we have five more. So
okay, here we go.
Yep.
But by the time we read those five, there'll be 10 more. Okay. Ebola is Paul says. Paul says.
Is this an unusual number of letters?
Well, you know, it's interesting for all the people who say that this hysteria and so forth. This is a topic that people can't seem to get enough of, as far as in writing about it and concerned about it and interest. And yes is the answer to your question. Paul.
Is it common knowledge that bowling shoe disinfectant spray... Oh, it is common knowledge that bowling shoe disinfectant spray kills Ebola. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's all right. That's hilarious.
That's from Paul.
A new scientific discovery.
That's great. Lysol, 99.9%. Ebola is one of them.
It's that 0.01% we got to watch out for.
Yep.
And Maureen says, where is the concern for the people of of West Africa. Their economies, families disrupted, poverty rising. Who is helping? Please discuss, Maureen.
Well, I think it's the Doctors Without Borders and the people who, like this doctor, who came back after serving a long stint helping the people of West Africa.
And some people are sort of coming down on them, and I don't like that. And anyway, Diane says, if Ebola is only transmitted, as we've been told, and Doctors Without Borders is taking appropriate precautions, how did the latest ER doc contract it? From Diane.
Okay. Who is the ER doc?
You know,
this guy is an international emergency doctor.
All right. I see.
And Ethan says, although we haven't heard your entire program today, our problem is not having cared about Ebola months ago so that we could have stopped it at its source in West Africa. Don't blame people like the infected doctor in New York City if there are no specific clear guidelines given by CDC on what returning doctors should do after coming home. And that's from Lisa. And Stephen says, what does Stephen say? The Ebola hysteria is just another non-issue that keeps the public's mind off real concerns. We as a country may be stinting on the bread in bread and circuses, but the circuses multiply endlessly, and that's from Steve. Okay, well...
You have a very interesting audience.
Well, and also...
diverse.
And some people...
That's one way of putting it, Judy. Thank you.
Some people say that, you know, interesting is just another word, you know, when somebody uses it for something else.
I think we knew exactly how Judy was using it, yes.
Okay, right. And Michael says, we did that one. And Eric says, yep, a different Eric. Okay, and I think that's it for now.
All right. I just want to say, we were talking about this earlier, Luca says...
Wait a second. This is so interesting. You're so right. You want to say it or you want me to do it?
Go ahead.
Okay. Hi, Roundtable. My name is Luca. I'm a 66-year-old guy, and I write as a guy with a lifetime experience of guyness.
Oops.
From Luca.
All right. Very good. So now that we've cleared up all of that, we welcome your letters, but we're going to talk about other stuff now, I think. Maybe. At least try. We're going to take a break. We'll do that when we come back.
Support for WAMC comes from Hudson Valley Goldsmith, specializing in custom-designed fine jewelry and repairs created live in an open studio in downtown New Paltz, also featuring the work of more than 10 fine jewelry artists from across the U.S., HudsonValleyGoldsmith.com. Davidson Brothers Brew Pub, featuring food, ales, entertainment, and more, serving lunch and dinner 7 days a week in downtown Glens Falls, New York, DavidsonBrothers.com. And Stone Soup Concrete, specializing in handcrafted and environmentally sound concrete countertops, sinks, furniture, and floors, serving the Northeast since 2001, StoneSoupConcrete.com and on Facebook.
Welcome to the bonus round. It's our roundtable panel for this Friday morning, and it's very nice to have you with us. So let us get to other topics. Ottawa. Despite telltale signs, Ottawa gunman was not flagged as a threat. The Canadian police acknowledged on Thursday that the gunman who traumatized the city in a deadly shooting rampage this week had not been identified as a security threat despite his criminal record in three cities, embrace of extremist ideas, and intent to travel to Syria. Anyone want in on that?
Well, again...
You know, hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right. Again, damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you do, you know, somebody's going to say they're coming after us or they're coming after this particular group or whatever. And if you don't, people are going to line up to criticize you later on. So there's that.
You know, it just goes to show how hard it is to track terrorists potential terrorists, but does that mean we shouldn't try at all? I guess we need to continue to try a little bit, but you know, there are millions of people out there in the world, and who knows what's in the minds of everybody.
And I also think it just shows that all of the West is a target. You know, Canada's not engaged in war activity like we are. You know, when we have to go to war, when we go to war, they'll send some folks over and work with us, but they never actually, you know, start anything or invade anything. And but, you know, here they are, minding their own business. And like any other country in the West, they are a target.
And the problem of the new terrorism, as instructed by the guys who are running all of this abroad, is that people are being instructed, people who may be a little bit, you
nuts.
Know, off,
yep.
Are being instructed to go out there and kill someone as a non-affiliated, just maniac.
Because Allah will welcome you with open arms. Their version of Islam, that,
yeah,
you know, 47 virgins waiting for you.
I think it's 17.
I thought it was 17.
Yeah, I thought it was 47.
Well, there's a 7 in there somewhere.
Yes, right. But still, I mean, there's this sense that go ahead and go do this because you're going to be rewarded for it in the other life.
Well, yes, that's true. But what's really troubling about this is the idea that we are now disassociating people and saying to them, you don't have to work in a chain of command from Osama bin Laden or wherever. You just wherever you are, if you get this message, go out and kill somebody. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there will be some who do.
Let's go to another topic, and that is airbags. I find this troubling. More than 30 million cars and trucks nationwide are equipped with dangerously defective airbags, congressional officials say. A number that raises questions about whether the U.S. auto industry can handle what could be the largest recall in history. Federal safety authorities have recalled only 7.8 million vehicles over the defect in a few states, a limited action that lawmakers said Thursday was vastly insufficient to address what they deemed a public safety threat.
Well, it sure is. I mean, if you've read what this is about,
yeah.
You're sitting in the passenger
seat,
the thing explodes, and shards come into your body, steel shards, then you this is a very dangerous situation.
A car full of kids watch their mom bleed out.
More than Ebola.
Yeah,
you know, they talk about as a practical matter how hard this is going to be to implement. I had one of those ignition switch problems, and I had to wait 6 months for the part to come in. So I tended not to use that car. Everybody doesn't have that luxury, but it takes forever for these parts to arrive and for the dealers to get them installed.
Don't use a big keychain on it either.
While the rate of reported incidents is low, linked to 4 deaths and more than 100 injuries so far, the defective airbags made by Japanese manufacturer Takata can rupture and blast out metal shards, particularly in humid conditions, according to government officials.
Now, does it rupture on its own, or is it rupturing when there's a crash?
Because
that's what's been,
I think it's on its own.
I think it can go. It can go on.
Unprovoked.
Thank you.
That's
the way I was looking
really
for
is.
That. Yeah. I was just looking
don't
for
sit
the,
in the passenger seat, which is always known as
the
death. Which is always known as the death seat, anyway.
Right, but it'll happen in the driver's seat too. The woman who bled out was in the driver's seat.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
And
okay.
Yes, and to Judy's point, Honda said it does not have enough parts to immediately fix the more than 5 million Accord, Civics, and other vehicles with defective airbags. For a temporary fix, Toyota is instructing its dealerships to disable airbags and attach notes on vehicles' glove boxes warning against riding in the passenger seat. That's what you want for your 30,000 vehicle, isn't it? Yeah, put
by
on
the way,
a post-it note.
Am I correct in that this is dated now? In other words, the newer cars.
It's from 2002 to 2007. So, yes, newer cars, but
once again,
until we
find
out
it
is the
people with the least resources
cars.
Are most likely to get it in the neck.
Yeah.
We
are?
What?
We're out of time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We have a little time if you want to tell people about next weekend.
You mean about the Berkshire Ramblers and all our friends from WAMC being at the over to the Cafe Lena? Is that one the thing you thought I should?
That was the thing I was thinking about.
And when is what's that date? Do you remember?
It's October 31st. It's better known as Halloween.
So it is,
and it will be taking place at Cafe Lena in Saratoga Springs, New York, on Phyla Street. And you can find out more by going to cafelena.org. Two Fs on
in cafe.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Two Fs. Cafe Lena.
Right.
Don't forget the other F.
No.
Judy, Libby, Alan, thank you all for being here this morning. Thanks, everybody, for writing in and being engaged this morning so much and talking about this issue. We appreciate it. And we'll be back on Monday with another discussion. Libby, we won't see you Monday, but we will see you Tuesday.
Right.
Excellent.
Wednesday.
And we look forward to that. Judy, hopefully we'll see you very, very soon. Maybe next week in costume.
Perhaps.
Look forward to that as well.
A witch's hat.
There you go. Well, we've come full circle. Alan, thank you. We'll be back after this.